All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Kind of just wanted to let the beginning of this kick in. Let that play a little bit. All right, I just noticed that my guest is on the line. I want to welcome Mr. James Harden to the listening audience. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. It's an honor to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's an honor to have you on. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. James Harden. Who is James Harden? You're not the star basketball player, are you?
No, I had the name before he did. I'm older than him.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about James Harden.
Yeah, so I'm the CEO. First of all, I'm a Christian, and I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who James Harden is here. And I'm the CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services, and we are firebound. We have multiple offices across New York. We have pro-life medical facilities. And this pro-abortion terrorist group, known as Jane's Revenge, which
sir, I have to get you to hold. You prefaced the fact that you are a Christian first, and
yeah,
and you wanted to make sure that people were aware of that, and then you talked about having an abortion clinic. So there are people who will probably ask how you reconcile one with the other.
Well, we have a pro-life medical clinic. It's where we don't provide or refer for abortions, and we're being attacked because I believe because of our beliefs. Jane's Revenge is a pro-abortion terrorist group that wants to shut us down. They said shut down in 30 days or face the consequences. They don't want us continuing to act on our pro-life beliefs.
Okay.
So we're not pro-abortion. We're pro-life.
Okay.
And
it's not a abortion clinic that you have.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. My mistake.
It is a little confusing because this is unique in the history of America and in the history of this abortion problem in America. These violent attacks against pro-life people and organizations started with the leak of the Dobbs case, and this organization, this pro-abortion terrorist group, Jane's Revenge. And so there have been over 100 attacks so far, and no arrests that we're aware of anywhere in the country. Our facility was literally firebombed by Molotov cocktails. We have a lot of evidence about the perpetrators, and law enforcement refuses to even call it arson. And the only law enforcement agency that said anything about it was yesterday, anywhere in the country. And the Amherst police in outer ring suburb of Buffalo basically said, we're following all the leads we can, and if the public has any input, please let us know. It's been this is day 56, no arrests.
So let me ask you, over the decades that Roe versus Wade had come into being, aren't there abortion, clinics that have been firebombed as well?
Yes, apparently there have been abortion clinics that have been bombed in the past. I don't know if it's in the recent past, but compare what the law enforcement did against the people that perpetrated those crimes. They caught them. There were manhunts going on, and they caught them. And there is definitely not the same fervor here. It almost seems like law enforcement has been politicized. And the FBI is slow walking this thing. I don't know why there's not a global manhunt. We've got a domestic terrorist group.
A global manhunt. So why would your offices be firebombed in your estimation?
That's a good question. I think the answer is because on June 24th, with the release of the Dobbs case overturning Roe versus Wade, the billion-dollar abortion empire had to change overnight. It would be similar to what would happen if the government went to the Ford Motor Company and said, hey, you can't have dealerships in 30 states tomorrow. That's the kind of existential threat to the corporate structure of the abortion industry that they're facing right now. And they're having to change their business model to this hub and spoke plan, where we're going to encouraging women to travel from conservative states to places like New York and California and Illinois to get their abortions. And New York Governor Hochul and California Governor Newsom want to pay for the travel expenses and the abortions for women traveling here. And if they don't travel here, they want to send them dangerous chemical abortion drugs to them in the mail.
So would it be safe to say that you think that this is an organized effort, the attack that took place on your offices from the pro-choice society? Or was it just some individual? I mean, there's a big difference.
There's a big difference, but the nature of terrorist groups is that they're decentralized and that they claim to have cell groups across various geography. And that's exactly what we have here. And they foment concerted efforts in these decentralized ways in their various cell groups. And that's what we've seen happening with Jane's Revenge. And so let me just review a couple of things that happened. So we started seeing this kind of activity happening to our Buffalo Center before we were firebombed, and we reported it to the local police and the FBI 2 weeks ahead of time. Then they actually firebombed us. And then they took responsibility for it 2 days later, saying, next time, if you don't close, if you don't shut down, next time, it's not going to be so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti. And they claimed open season. Those are their words, open season on pregnancy centers. And then New York Governor Hochul came out 6 days after the firebombing, and instead of investigating the arson attack, she signed a bill to investigate the victims, us. And while she was at the press conference signing this bill, she called us Neanderthals. And then a couple days after that, New York Attorney General Letitia James comes out and signs an open letter to Google demanding that they wipe us off the map so that women can't find us. And this is an all-out attack on people, pro-life praise centers that are just simply trying to help women in their hour of crisis.
So I'm really trying to understand why somebody would firebomb your offices because all you want to do is have a conversation with women on why they should go through with their pregnancies. Why would somebody go to that extent? To what kind of threats would you be that somebody would then, and you refer to these people as terrorists, because you were trying to have a conversation with someone to go through with their pregnancy? I don't understand the correlation between, you know, firebombing somebody who's just having that kind of a conversation.
I know. I'm trying to understand it too. It makes no sense. Well, so here's the thing: sin never makes any sense. But I think that what we see happening here is the fact that there's the only competition the abortion industry has right now are these pregnancy centers, these pregnancy resource centers.
So what happens in the pregnancy resource center for those of us who aren't aware? Walk us through that.
Sure. Yeah. What we do is we provide baseline medical care, ethical medical care, for free, by the way, to women who are facing unplanned pregnancies, and many of which are considering abortion.
So what's ethical? What's ethical? Because you threw the term ethical in. I know what it means, but what is that?
Yeah, I really appreciate this interview because not many people ask these questions. What I mean by ethical goes back to the Hippocratic Oath. It's the oath that doctors would take before they would start practicing medicine independently. And what I mean by ethical, so the original Hippocratic Oath said this. There's a phrase in saying this: I will not give a woman an abortive remedy. And what that basically means, I mean, why would the Hippocratic Oath, the oath that all doctors would take, put that particular thing in their oath? And it's because the purpose of medicine is to heal and to maintain the health of the patient. Now, when you're serving a pregnant woman, you're serving two patients, and it does neither one of those two things for either the woman or the baby. And so what abortion represents is death, and it's the original medical quackery. So our job is to leverage medical technology to help and to preserve all life, because The Bible says basically that we're all made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without qualification, without partiality. And the government's job is to protect all people, which is why I was so excited when the Dobbs case came out reversing Roe versus Wade. Because the original Roe versus Wade said the word person, quote unquote, the word person does not apply to the unborn. But then Dobbs came out and they said the Roe decision was egregiously wrong, specifically on that point. Personhood. As soon as we start parsing out who qualifies as a person, who doesn't qualify as a person, that's the foundation for systemic injustice.
So, but again, this debate that took place long before the Dobbs decision, it stated that, you know, when fetus, when this became a human life. And so to now come back 50 years later and say, well, that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. People can say that was a mistake based on the opinions of some people today. But they can they unilaterally across the board say that this is when life starts? Do they have, what is the determining factor that's different today than it was 50 years ago, other than Republicans are in control of the Supreme Court?
Well, I think that the decision in 1973 was arbitrary. The determination of when human life
isn't it arbitrary today? The change in this is also arbitrary. That can be. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think what they're saying is that human beings shouldn't get to decide who qualifies as a human and who doesn't qualify as a human. Because a child in the womb is fully and equally human, just, you know, on the spectrum of maturity.
So science, really young. Science doesn't play a role in any of this?
Science doesn't say why. Science just tells us what. And science does tell us that human life begins at the moment of fertilization.
So
it's a unique human life with its own DNA, and that DNA controls the maturation process of that human being from that moment on through death. And so that person is a person fully and equally human, just young.
You know, James, Mr. Hardin, I'm really glad that you have agreed to have this conversation with myself and the listening audience. Tom, I see you in L.A. We'll come back to you and give you an opportunity to have a conversation with Mr. Hardin. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. James Hardin. Let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A. Tom, you say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we, the people, are the government, and that includes all of us. And second, the Republican Party is the party of murder and of death, pro-death. Sir, I have a question for you. You started off your conversation saying that you're a Christian. Do you believe in war? Do you believe in capital punishment? Do you believe in, you know, people not having enough to eat? Do you believe that kind of pro-life? I'm just curious. Or are you just a selective pro-life person?
That's a good question, Tom. I am pro-life. I don't believe in war. And the Jesus Christ makes us radically responsible for our neighbor. Our neighbor who's beaten and left for dead on the dangerous Jericho Road of culture. Whoever that person is, we are radically responsible. The system's not responsible. The government's not responsible. The bureaucracy's not responsible. I'm responsible, and you're responsible, Tom. That's what Jesus talks about. That's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And, you know, it was a lawyer who asked Jesus, Jesus, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And he says, well, you're the lawyer. Why don't you tell me? And he says, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, yeah, that's right. Go and do that, and you'll be fine. I'm paraphrasing here. And he says, in order to justify himself, the lawyer goes back to Jesus, and he says, yeah, but who's my neighbor? At that point, Jesus begins to describe the parable of the Good Samaritan. As soon as we start asking the question, who's my neighbor, and we talk about our neighbors in generalities, Jesus basically says, no, that's wrong. Because the Good Samaritan says, listen, here's this guy who comes along walking down the road, and he gets beaten and left for dead. And the political elite and the ruling elite walk around him on the other side. They don't care about that man. Who does care about the man is the Good Samaritan, the half-breed, the guy that the lawyer looks down on. He stops and he gives him everything he needs, you know, to give this man his life back to him. Okay. And then Jesus asks the Lord, who is a neighbor to this man? He says, well, it's the man who helped the other man. Yes. Now go and do likewise. Okay. Now, do I want the government to do my job? I need to do my job. I need to do my part. And so does everybody else.
Okay, Tom.
But you just don't go on the diatribe and stuff. I know all about Christianity. I know about Jesus. I don't need to know that part. I'm just asking because I don't have a lot of time on this call to have what I would call filibustering going on. I ask you another question. Do you believe in capital punishment?
Tom, let me ask you, Tom, if you would please get to
this. The reason why I want to ask him this is I'm agreeing with his little organization that he has, but I would say that his organization is perfect for pro-choice. It's not the government's right to choose. It is the woman's right to choose. And if you want to have your little, you know, you have your organization to try to appeal to women not to terminate a pregnancy, that's completely up to you. But government should not be choosing whether a woman should or shouldn't have a termination of a pregnancy. But again, I'm going to ask you the question, because Earl, I don't think he's answered it. Do you believe in capital punishment?
Well, Tom, so, you know, Tom, I understand where you're coming from, but if you could be, you know, more direct in your question to him, because in the end we don't have a lot of time, and we know what his beliefs are, and if you could kind of, you know, direct your questioning or to him based on the conversation he's having now.
That's what I'm doing. Sir, are you in favor of capital punishment, yes or no?
So you're trying to conflate the two issues.
So Tom, let me ask you, what, because he clearly is talking about the fact that his clinic, he's saying that based on the decisions that were made at the Supreme Court, you know, to overturn Roe versus Wade, that his clinic has been attacked, and that there are terrorist people who are pro-choice who have now become terrorists. Basically, is what he's talking about. And your thoughts on that, Tom?
Earl, he has said right off the bat that he is pro-life. You cannot make a statement that you're pro-life if you're not pro-life in all cases. I, as an example, am pro-life in every single case. However, I believe in a woman's right to choose, not the government's right to choose. Just because a woman has the right to choose does not mean she's going to choose a termination of a pregnancy. And I would think organizations like his would actually be someone that would be like, wow, you know, we are pro-choice. we are in favor of pro-choice because we're actually going to talk to these women, and hopefully we will get them to a point where they will want to not terminate a pregnancy. We're not only going to pay for their health care right now, but we're going to pay for their kids' health care and everything like that once they're born. Sir, do you guys actually take care of the women after the birth of the child, or is that just beforehand?
It's not only throughout the 9 months of pregnancy, but beyond. That's the point. You know, you're exactly right, Tom. When a woman faces unplanned pregnancy, she says, "I'm stuck. I'm trapped. I've got no other choice. I need to have an abortion." This is not choice for her. It's entrapment. She's being coerced by her circumstances. And our job is to give her all the support and security that she needs in order to truly be free to have a make a true choice. Otherwise, she's just stuck. And it takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of coordination, takes a lot of resources, and we do it all for free, all throughout all the nine months of pregnancy, as well as beyond. We're connecting her with all the support that she needs in order to have the baby and parent the child or place the child for adoption. It's comprehensive.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. So let me say this to you, Mr. Hardin. It is your contention that, again, when life begins, because at the root of all of this debate is that you and... All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. James Hardin. How many clinics, different clinics, do you own?
We own three, and we've helped 650 pregnancy centers across the country who are using our materials and our strategies.
So, and so it is his contention that since the Dobbs decision, that there are terrorist groups, pro-choice groups, that are now on the ascension and attacking offices like his, and that the FBI and the police don't want to, in your words, are not doing what they should to protect centers like yours. Is it safe to say that?
No, that's very safe to say. That there have been no additional state or federal law enforcement that have been allocated to protect our organizations, and quite the opposite. New York State Governor Hochul gave $10 million to private practice abortionists to increase their security, and they didn't even ask for it. And that was after we were firebombed and after the threats increased. They said next time it's not going to be so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti.
You know, Mr. Hardin, hard to believe that law enforcement would turn away from someone who firebombed any place. I mean, it could be, a store selling penny candy. And if the place was firebombed, law enforcement would do their due diligence to find out who the perpetrators were. Why would you believe that because you guys are a pro-life that they would totally ignore that?
Because we're disfavored by the political elite. That's why.
So law enforcement is the political elite?
No, I think that state and federal law enforcement are in danger of being politicized. I think that the local law enforcement are doing as much as they possibly can, but they don't have the resources that the federal law enforcement and state law enforcement have, and I think that they're slow walking it. I mean, here's what happens. You get an arson attack. Let's say somebody blow the firebombs a candy shop. Well, what's the process? The process is the crime happens. The next day, the police come out and talk about it, and then within 24 to 48 hours, they have somebody in custody. Well, what happened here? We had a crime, an arson attack, and it was not just one, but 44 pregnancy centers across the country have been attacked. And no law enforcement have said anything, and there have been no arrests. What does that lead us to believe? What are we supposed to construe about that?
Well, first off, Mr. Hardin, I have to check and see if those numbers that you are talking about are in fact real, because I'm pretty much on national news and watching what's going on. This is the first I've heard of 44 centers pro-life being attacked.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. When we were first firebombed on June 7th, I looked back and I was facing the press. And I pointed back to our smoldering facility, and I said, that is the face of the abortion industry. This is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. And that's a German word, as you probably know. It means broken glass at night. And that was the watershed moment where violence tipped into the Jewish community in 1938 Nazi Germany. And no one has refuted me, because the mainstream media refuses to pick this story up. I mean, you can find it on National Review. You can find it on other outlets, but you're not going to find it on mainstream media. CNN did an interview with me, but they refused to air it. Well, why? I mean, I'd be happy to send you all the information. We're in touch with almost all the people that have been attacked. But this is wrong. There's something's not right here. It doesn't smell right.
I don't see what's to be gained. Why would somebody, the people who support pro-life have gotten what they've asked for? And so what would be the purpose of someone attacking you?
I think there may be two reasons. The politicians, Republican and Democrat, don't want the abortion issue to go away because they get elected on it. That's number one. But number two, the abortion industry is facing an existential threat to their business model. And pregnancy centers are the only competition for the abortion industry, and specifically Compass Care. We're giving away the 21st century telehealth tools to actually compete with the abortion industry head on for the first time since 1973. And they're looking at losing hundreds of thousands of women in business every year.
Look, you, Tom from LA was asking you some poignant questions that, you know, it, the substance of them was correct, but I didn't want to be able to force, to take us off of line from actually what you and I having the conversation about. And so for those who say we want this life and all lives, and yet then we see that some of the same people are opposed to doing anything to help those lives once they're here on the planet, I think is at the root of all of this. You know, well, we don't want too many people on social service. We don't have any money for safety nets. We can't do this. We can't do that. People should stand on their own two feet, pull themselves up by their bootstraps. So the contradiction that I think Tom and others are talking about is you can't have it both ways. It's either or. Either if we are pro-life, then we should be pro-life once the life is here as well.
Amen.
Yeah, but that's not the case.
we live in a fallen world, and our job is to keep telling the truth and keep asking people. Look, we need to sacrifice one another. This is not an easy life. If we're expecting to coast, I mean, we're just not going to happen. We're going to be disappointed all our life long. Our job is, there's only two things that are sacred in this world, and it's God and it's people. And our job is not to protect what's mine. My job is to walk in the Lord and help and sacrifice for my neighbor. That's a hard thing to do, but you can do it only if you're in right relationship with God Almighty. He's the one that empowers you to do it. Otherwise, we just live sinful.
But see, Mr. Hardin, can you not see that in America, the people are from all different denominations, from all different beliefs, and there is no one universal belief in America. There's none that says there has to be. As a matter of fact, everything points to people having the rights to whatever their beliefs are in this nation. And yeah. and yet when we hear statements, from people who think that their beliefs and their religions, should should go for all people. That's where we wind up in situations like the one we're dealing with now.
Well, I think that society doesn't last very long if we give up on protecting all the people in that society. We can't start choosing who qualifies as a person under the law and who does not qualify as a person under the law. If everybody's not protected, if everybody is not blessed, then we don't have, we're not going to have a civilized order. We're not going to have a justice. It's just going to be a mirage.
You know, sir, the fact that this decision has been overturned and the fact that this fight is not over, because states, you know, have their independence, and what has happened is the states that do allow abortion, the business has picked up, ramped up, right?
That's right. Oh, it's well, we call them abortion hub states, like New York. Yes, abortion tourism has begun, and it's a new day, and it's a new abortion hub and spoke model. Some are going to be traveling to places like New York to get their abortions, and.
So you got a couple more minutes.
I do, sir. Yeah.
Okay, so got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guess is Mr. James Harden. We're talking about abortion. You can join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. You know me, I'm your friend, your main boy, thick and thin. I'm your pusher man. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. James Harden. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. Hey, CJ, what's going on, man?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. And also, Mr. Harden, thank you. I guess this is a difficult question for everyone, but...
What happened to... Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Tom's trying to get the gotcha moment on Mr. Harden. I guess a question. James, Mr. Senator Schumer sent through a vote through the Senate about this right after the overturn of the Supreme Court. But they failed to announce in the vote, the way it turned out, that there were no restrictions on when someone could get an abortion up to the day or even a partial birth abortion. I don't think most people believe in that. So I think the media does a good job selling myths on what people believe. And
well, CJ, before you go any further, I don't know if there was ever any point in time that you can get an abortion up to 9 months of pregnancy. That's not true.
Well, that's the vote that
That's the vote, Earl.
That is the vote that he put on the floor.
Hey, CJ, come on, man. There's no way anybody Democrat, Republican, anybody, even those who supported pro-choice, agreed or believed that you can get an abortion up to 9 months.
I believe you believe that, Earl.
What do you mean you believe I believe that? I know that's a fact. That never occurred. That was never a part of it.
Restrictions. You can deny it. There were no restrictions put on the floor by Senator Schumer. So your denial doesn't change.
So hold on. So Mr. Hardin, let me ask you, as this caller is stating, and you would know, you're in the business, even with, you know, the Roe versus Wade, there was no way that included was in 9 months you could have an abortion. That never existed.
That's, I love your show. I really do, because I get to talk about things that I never get to talk about very often. So if you just look at Roe versus Wade, the issue at hand was whether or not the child in the womb is a person protected under the Constitution.
Yeah, but not up to 9 months. The question wasn't up to 9 months, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, so the Supreme Court came up with this idea of trimesters relative to when the baby is viable, okay? And the trimester thing was they just made that up. So they didn't say, you know, to what extent a child can or cannot be destroyed in the womb. They just said, you know, the child in the womb at any time is not considered protectable constitutionally under the law. So theoretically, I think CJ is correct. You could theoretically construe.
But theoretically, whatever he's saying, by law, you know, anyone who would abort a baby at 9 months would wind up in jail. It's murder.
What's the difference between aborting a baby at 9 months still in the womb and aborting a baby at 10 weeks in the womb?
Because at 9 months the baby is fully developed, fully formed, and ready to enter into the world. You know, let's again, CJ, if you have a something that you want to have a conversation with that makes sense, then you can have a conversation. My guest is still on the line, but not to say that, you know, the Democrats were saying you can abort a baby at 9 months. Go ahead. CJ, you there?
And these ultrasounds today. Have you seen an ultrasound at 16 weeks, Earl?
CJ, as I said to you
as I said to you once before,
I have.
That's the honest question.
Let me finish, man. I have three children who are 45, 44, and 33. So, yes, ultrasounds aren't new. So, yes, the answer is yes. What sense does that? Why are you asking me such a ridiculous question?
Because the ultrasounds back in the 70s don't have the detail that
it doesn't matter. I saw the heartbeat of my children when they were in the womb. Yes. But they were not in the beginning of conception. There was no ultrasound photo that you could take.
I'm asking you at 16 weeks.
Well, at 16 weeks. Listen, man. Thank you. Thank you.
It's an honest question.
Thank you. Thank you.
People have evolved on this.
Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for the call. So Mr. Hardin, I want to get back to you again. So what is your expectation of where we go from here?
Well, this phone call, this conversation is exactly what I want to see happening all over the country. I want the people to start talking, just like you're talking. I want them to start engaging each other on these issues, because this is important stuff. This is, I mean, if we can't talk openly and even heatedly about these things instead of firebombing our office, then we're not a civilized order anymore.
And we haven't been a civilized order for a long time, sir.
I think you're right. Yes, I'm just trying to be charitable.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not thrilling to have these kind of conversations, and sometimes it's downright nasty. But when it's nasty, then it's most important. And I think this is exactly what we need to be talking about, and we need to be talking about what it means to be human again, what it means to be human under God. And that's why we need to get back.
But
so
the question becomes, who's God? We can't say and use the terms and the verbiage because people's gods are different in the society, and especially in America.
Well, the Judeo-Christian God is the God that says that what human beings are made in His image and therefore equally valuable. Where we should be treating each other just a little lower than God Himself. That's the kind of dignity and respect we need to be treating each other with.
I don't know any other God in the world
that allows the humanity to treat each other that way.
But America is, and you know, this is just a fact. America is not Judeo-Christian alone. It is all the different religions and different beliefs that this nation touts that it allows in this nation that makes it the melting pot that it is. But if we use absolutes, excuse me, and that is what leads to the problems that we have.
Well, I don't know that you can have a civilized order if people's beliefs allow them to denigrate and hate their neighbor. You can't have a civilized. I mean, you just look at the rest of the world. Look at the history of other governments. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and it requires that we believe human beings are absolutely valuable.
Mr. Hart, you see, when you say our nation was founded under the Judeo-Christian ethic, then there are people who will say, "So did the Judeo-Christian ethic agree with slavery?" I mean, that's the okay, but then that contradicts what it is you are saying. So we
corrected that.
Well, you may have corrected it, but you can't say it was founded under the Judeo-Christian ethic because the Judeo-Christian ethic did not allow that.
Well, you're absolutely right, and so that means that they founded a government that was flawed because they're full of flawed people. I mean, we had a Judeo-Christian ethic that was being embraced, relative to the foundation of our country, but that doesn't mean that they had no problems and that they didn't misunderstand things and didn't sin and didn't do stupid things like slavery. I would say, look, we're all in a process of growing and learning, right? And our country has failed in many, many respects. And when our country fails, the great thing about America is that we have an opportunity as citizens to correct those failures. And I think we corrected a failure on June 24th, and now we're able to have a conversation about it.
You know, Mr. Hardin, it's been an enlightening conversation. I'm thankful that you decided to have the conversation with us, and certainly I'll reach back out to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll be with you.
All right. Good to have you on the air. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. My love, yeah, thumping in my head.